I'm very happy to be here. I bring you greetings from Ames Mennonite Church. There are five of us who meet at 4 o'clock at the Quaker Church. And we sing a cappella and we study scriptures and then we all go out to a grocery store for supper. So if you're ever in the neighborhood, we welcome you to come to that. My husband and I met at Freeman Academy, Freeman, South Dakota. Anybody ever been to Schmeckfest? Schmeckfest? It's a food tasting festival. And they raise money for the local Mennonite Academy, and they have a big musical. And my husband and I were cast opposite each other. My husband farmed, and we farmed in rural Freeman for a lot of years. And then we moved to Sioux Falls, and we were part of the Mennonite Brethren Church there. We helped to plant that church. And then when our teenage boys, we have two sons who are now not teenagers, when they were teenage, we realized we needed to get them into a youth group because the Mennonite church we were at, they either had to go to the infants, you know, through nursery school, Sunday school, or they had to go to the adults. And so we found a church where they could be a part of that. I was a school teacher for a lot of years. My husband worked at the post office in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And I was a member and president of VORP. Are you familiar with VORP? Victim Offender Reconciliation Program that the Mennonites support. And it's also under other names like Restore. But its whole purpose is to help get healthy justice, not the violent justice, but healthy justice and healing to people who are incarcerated or even just in domestic disputes. I love storytelling. And with our grandchildren, who are in Ames, Iowa, and that's what brought us to Ames, is our only grandchildren live there. So we've lived there now 4 years, and we're the transportation, we're the homework duty, we're the evening meal responsibility, get them to bed on time when their parents have obligations. Our daughter-in-law is a professor of theater at ISU, so she has some evening obligations. And our son is a librarian at that Ames Public Library, so he has some evening obligations too. So we know how to feed them and get their showers done and their homework done and get them to bed. They are now both in middle school, so our time with them isn't quite as, well, as often as it was before. We have an older son who lives in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He used to live not very far from this church, actually, and worked for Wells Fargo. Now he works for the Fifth Third Bank. My husband and I go to storytelling events. And there was a storyteller who has a book. The man's name is Don White, and the book was Memoirs of a C Student. I read the book, I loved his storytelling, and in it there was a story called The Dinner Meeting, where he takes us in a modern way to the Last Supper. So I want you to imagine now that you are at that Last Supper, and Jesus is talking to you in your common, ordinary, modern language. There's one thing I want you, and he says guys, because they were all men, to get right. I'm going to talk about it now, and I want everyone to take notes to reassure me that you will not mess this up. During my crucifixion, I will look toward heaven, and I will say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm going to repeat it, so you write that down exactly, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Here it is again. I will look toward heaven, and I will say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Okay, when I say that from the cross, what I'm really saying is, forgive the people who are killing you. No, John, I did not mean to say kill the people who are forgiving you. I meant exactly what I said. Forgive the people who are killing you. Listen to me. This is important. I am not going to be here to answer your questions and straighten out your problems forever. You are going to have to learn to do this for yourself. Forgiveness is a tool that I am giving you to unburden your heart from anger and sadness so that you can be free to build lives of compassion and joy. That's what I want for you. I want you to be compassionate and joyful. And you'll be relieved to know that forgiveness is something you do not have to be a genius or a high priest to understand or to utilize. This is for everyone. All right. I'll try to make it a little easier for you. Think of it this way. Your heart is my home, and I'm going to live there with you, and it's going to be a place of great joy. And when you are mistreated or betrayed or angered, and you carry that hatred in your heart, that hatred pushes me out of my home, your heart. And I will stand outside the door, and I will wait for you to forgive the one who has harmed you. Your forgiveness will evict the hatred from your heart, and I will move back in. This is not magical or mystical or beyond the comprehension of even the youngest among you. I need you to remember this. When you forgive someone, it does not mean that you like what they did to you. It does not mean that you want them to do it to you again. It does not mean that you won't want to poke them in the eye with a big stick if they do try to do it to you again. And I don't encourage you to do that. What it means, the only thing it means, is that you refuse to carry the weight of hatred in your heart. My home. You have no idea how much I love you. You are all a great joy to me. Take this gift. Take this gift and use it. Please make sure that it gets written down the way I told it here today so that all of my children can use it to take care of themselves. That's Don White's version. What he doesn't talk about that victim-offender reconciliation does is tell you what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness does not condone unkindness or meanness. It doesn't excuse ignorant or harmful behavior. It's not a way to avoid doing the hard grief work that some people need to do, grief recovery work for something that's been done to them, something perhaps violent or sexual in nature. It's not forgetting. You've heard people say forgive and forget, but it is not forgetting that something truly painful happened. Because you'll never be able to forget that. Forgiveness is not denying or minimizing the fact that you were hurt or that you have pain or that you have anger. Forgiveness does not mean you have to reconcile with your offender and be best friends. Forgiveness does not mean you have to give up your right to feeling the way you feel. Forgiveness is not a sense of false humility that makes us feel better than somebody else because we've forgiven them. I was a high school teacher for a long time of English and speech and theater. And the story I'm about to tell you is a true story, and I've changed the names to prick the people, but I do have permission. The young girl's name was Mercedes. She was vibrant. She was peppy. She was smart. She was a cheerleader, she was up for homecoming royalty, she was president of the student council, she had it all. And her senior year, her parents and her two sets of grandparents decided that they would give her a car for her senior year. She was so busy and involved in everything, they knew she'd need it, and she'd need it when she was going off to Bethel College in North Newton, Kansas. You all know Bethel, right? Yeah. So they bought her this car. It was a new used car. And it was bright, shiny red. It was such a nice car. And she loved her car. The deal was, though, that she had to pay for the insurance and the gas. So she agreed, you know, with her job, she would do that. She was up early one morning to get to cheer practice. It was fall. It was light out yet in the morning. And she noticed there was a big scratch mark all the way from the driver's side front door all to the back fender. She went in the house and told her parents. They called the police. The police came. She had to get to school, so she left. And the police said, you know, don't worry, we're going to follow up on this. We'll find people who did this. She went through the day, and after fifth period, she had lunch. After fifth period, she got called out of class to the police liaison officer's office. Now, in this district, we have a police liaison officer in every building, and that's for protection and also visibility. The police officer called her down and said, Mercedes, we know who did this. She said, how do you know? He said, well, you know that video camera that was up there on your parents' garage that you thought didn't work, that, you know, when your parents bought the house a year ago, they just left it up? Well, it was still working. And it recorded the three people who did it. They were Mercedes, friends, Markeisha, Zach, and Mindy. These were her friends. And she said, that cannot be. These are my friends. They would never do such a thing. The officer said, well, you can press charges. And she said, well, I can't even think what to do. Let me just think about it. I'll talk to my parents and we'll decide what to do. So she went home. They talked it over. In the end, she could not press charges. But it ate at her. She couldn't sleep at night. Because she couldn't sleep, she couldn't pay attention well in school. Her grades started to drop, and she was a really good student. She started losing weight. Just couldn't eat. Nothing tasted right to her. She didn't skip school, but she went home sick a lot with headaches. And she said, my stomach is upset. And she just was sick a lot. And one day, one of her teachers came to her and said, Mercedes, I can tell something's wrong. You want to talk about it? Mercedes, I'm dealing with it. I'm fine. No worries. And then later, her counselor called her in and said, Mercedes, there's something wrong. Do you want to talk about it? Mercedes said, no, I'm fine. I'm just fine. I don't need any help with anything. I'm just fine. I'm just working it out. But she wasn't fine. She was a Christian person, and she went to a Mennonite church. And their youth group leader had an event. Well, it was a regular monthly meeting, or weekly meeting, rather, and it was on forgiveness. It was a whole month on forgiveness, but this night, the youth leader said, I want to tell you a story about a Native American wise woman. She was bringing up her granddaughter, and she said, you know that all of us have two wolves inside of us. One that feeds on hatred and violence and ugliness, and one that feeds on love and generosity and kindness. And the little grandchild said to her wise grandmother, well, how do you know which one is going to win? And the grandmother said, it's the one you feed. And that night when Mercedes went home, she had her evening devotions as always, but that night she couldn't concentrate and she just threw herself on her bed and she wailed to God, why did you let this happen to me? I didn't do anything wrong. What do you want from me? And then just as clear as if it were the voice of God, she heard the word forgive. And she knew immediately what she had to do. She didn't want to go to those three people and talk to them about this, but she prayed, God, give me your spirit and help me to do this. She slept so well that night, and she woke up feeling good, and she had a decent breakfast. And she went to school, and she made up her mind that she would tackle one at a time. And after school that day, she saw Markeisha. Markeisha had a locker in the same senior hallway as Mercedes. Now, Markeisha was a new student to that school a year ago when they were juniors, and she was a student of color. And so this was pretty much a white school, so a student of color would really stick out. And Mercedes noticed at fifth period lunch that Markeisha came in, was looking around for a place to sit, didn't have any place to sit. And Mercedes jumped up and she went over to her and she says, hi, my name is Mercedes, what's your name? And they shook hands. She said, come and sit at our table. Of course, the table was mostly set for eight, you know, at high school cafeterias, and there were already 10 kids there, but they made room for her. And they got to be friends. So after school that day, she went up to Markeisha at her locker and said, Markeisha, we've got to talk. And Markeisha wouldn't make eye contact. She said, I've got to go. I've got to catch the bus. If I don't catch the bus, I'll have to walk home. And Mercedes said, I'll give you a ride home. They got in her car, and they drove to the mall and sat in the parking lot. And in the car, Mercedes said, Markeisha, what you did hurt me so much. I couldn't believe you would do that. I thought we were friends. But Markeisha started crying. She said, I didn't do it. I was with them when they did it. I know, and we were drinking, and we shouldn't have been doing it, but I didn't do it. And Mercedes said, that's all beyond us now. I just want you to know I forgive you. And they both wept and hugged. The next one was a lot harder. It was Zach. Zach and she had been buds since preschool. They'd gone to preschool and elementary and middle school and high school together. In fact, most people thought they were boyfriend and girlfriend, but they were not. They had a pact that at senior prom, if either of them didn't have a date or both of them didn't have a date, they'd go together. They were buddies. He was in her same AP, Advanced Placement Chemistry class, and he was not her lab partner, but she sent him a note, like kids do in school, and said, meet me for open lunch. Now, by the time they were senior years, they could go off the campus for open lunch. So they met at a fast food place and actually didn't eat lunch. But she had a chance to talk to Zach, and she said, Zach, I just have to tell you, this is killing me. I want you to know that what you did really hurt me. I never would have expected it from you, but I have to tell you I forgive you. And before she could even really get the words out of her mouth, he said, I didn't do it. I was driving the car. I only drove the car. It wasn't my idea. I didn't do it. Yeah, we were drinking, but I didn't do it. And she said, I just want you to know I forgive you. And as soon as she heard both of them confess, she knew who did it. It was Mindy, her good friend. Mindy was harder because Mindy would not accept a text. She would not respond to phone calls. She would not accept Instagram or Facebook or anything. So a week went by. It was Saturday morning, and Mercedes made up her mind she was going to Mindy's house. They had been such good buds. They were like daughters to each other's parents. So she rang the doorbell. Mindy's mother came to the door and said, I don't know if Mindy will see you. And Mercedes said, oh, yes, she will. I'm just going to bound right up to her room. And she did, knocked on the door. Mindy said, come in, thinking it was her mother. And when she saw Mercedes, she said, what do you want? What are you doing here? And Mercedes said, we've got to talk. She said, well, I don't even want to talk to you. And then Mercedes said, but I want to talk to you. And so Mercedes started to say, what you did really hurt me. Well, you get everything. You got that shiny red car, and you're up for homecoming, and you're president of the student council, and all the boys just love you, and you get everything. And then Mercedes recognized that Mindy was jealous. And so Mercedes said to Mindy, you don't have to be jealous of me. You're talented. You're beautiful. You have a lot of friends. We're on student council together. You don't need to feel jealous of me. And then Mindy started to cry, and she said, I didn't mean to do it. I did not mean to do it. We were driving around. Zach was driving. Yes, we were drinking. I know that's against the cheer rules. I signed up for activity rules. I know I could be busted for that. But she said, we were just going to stop by and see if you wanted to go riding around with us, Miss Goody Two Shoes. But the house was all dark. And we were going to take some soap and just soap up your windows and say something smart on there about you. And then she said, I don't know what happened, but my keys were in my hand, and I just went down the side of your car. And then I jumped in the car and I said, we got to get out of here. She said, I did it. I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. If I could take it back, I would. I am so sorry. And Mercedes hugged her. She said, Mindy, I forgive you. What you did hurt me. And maybe our relationship won't be the same forever. But I want you to know I forgive you. That's Mercedes' story. But let's talk about what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is a peace that Mercedes got from forgiving that was passing all understanding. Forgiveness was for Mercedes, not necessarily for her offenders. She had to do it, even though they hadn't asked for it. Forgiveness was a spiritual process for Mercedes. And out of it came a wisdom that she did not have before. Forgiveness is an attitude that sets us free, and Mercedes felt so free after that, so that we are not continually re-victimized by old wounds or old memories. Because that's what happened to Mercedes. Every day when she saw them, she was re-victimized by that experience. Forgiveness is a pathway that replaces fear and isolation with love and connection. Did you see how those three people couldn't make eye contact with her, couldn't spend the time with her like they had been before? And now that had been restored. Forgiveness for Mercedes was taking the power back so that she was not out of control. Forgiveness was taking responsibility for Mercedes for how she felt, and she communicated that to her friends. Forgiveness is about healing and not about the people who hurt you. It's about healing. And forgiveness is a skill that can be learned. It can be taught. Forgiveness is a way to live in beauty and balance without judgment or expectation towards self or others. Forgiveness is wonderful. It's a choice freely made. So let's talk about that. Is there someone you need to forgive? A family member, a mate, a neighbor? Is there someone from whom you need to ask forgiveness? And perhaps you need to forgive yourself. We all have regrets. We all have made mistakes. And sometimes the hardest thing to do is ask God's Spirit to help you forgive yourself so that you can go on, as Don White said, and be joyful and compassionate people. This is my prayer for you. Let's pray. God of wisdom, you gave us your Holy Spirit. You gave us Christ as an example to die for us, to forgive us. In the weeks and days that come ahead, help us to seek forgiveness, to give forgiveness, and to forgive ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.